Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Time for some social media talk. No matter what your internet habits are, one thing is really important for us, and that's making certain we are clicking with care. And with us to talk more about that, digital strategist Scott Kleinberg. Scott, good morning. I know we talk about vetting content to avoid contributing to the misinformation machine that's out of control on social media, but this is even more general. Sum it up for us.
Yeah, sure. Good morning, Bob. So, yeah, I'm talking about that tendency in all of us to click and then wonder if we should have clicked, when it really should always be the reverse. Clicking on a link should not be something we just do. I think we have to take into account the risk first, because those risks grow every day.
And when you say risks, what do you mean exactly?
Well, by risk, I mean anything from infecting our machines with viruses to compromising our passwords to being completely locked out of our social media accounts or even having our identity stolen. I mean, that tendency that we have to click first, you know, it's probably rooted in humans wanting to trust each other, but sadly, it just doesn't, it's not a good idea for the digital world.
No, it's not. So you mentioned what can happen when we just click. Let's talk about those things a little bit.
Yeah, sure, sure. So let's start with those phishing emails that are out there. You know, those are emails that contain links that try to get us to give up personal info, like usernames and passwords. You know, and we've talked about this over the years, that the people who send those emails, they've kept up with technology and conversations like we're having right now, because these emails look real and they're hard to recognize. But the reality is that most real looking emails are not real. And even if they get harder to spot, there's always clues that we can look for.
Like what?
Well, there's simple things. I mean, any word that's misspelled, for starters, that's one. Something as innocent as an extra space between a word, that's another. Language that seems very strange is likely strange. I mean, if someone in an email, Bob, refers to you as dear, just get rid of it. And let me explain why that's true in simplest terms. A credit card company or Apple or Google, they're going to refer to you as Mr. Surratt. They're not going to refer to you as dear. But, you know, besides those things, check the address where the email came from. So an email from a legitimate company is going to come from a legitimate email address from that company. But this, that's where two things happen. So the email address is either 1,000,000% fake. It's something where the scammer already assumes he's never going to check. So it's doesn't even matter. Or the email is going to look like it comes from the company, but something small is off, like it's .net instead of .com. That second one, though, Bob, that's a lot harder to spot.
A couple of things I want to ask you about this. First, have you noticed more of these fake texts, not just emails? You get a lot of texts that are scams now?
You do. You get a lot of text that's happening more and more. And, you know, I think it happens anytime you put in a phone number, you run the risk of that happening to your account. But I don't know if it's just me or not, but I take that so much more personally than an email. If someone spam texts me, I'm angry instantly. But if someone spam emails me, I'm like, oh, it's just a spam email. Yeah. I'm not sure why I feel that way.
Yeah. And who are these people behind all of these frauds? I always wonder about this.
That's a really good question. I mean, there are companies all over the world that do this, that basically try to find people who have really weak passwords, and they're able to sell them to other people, depending on the information that they get. It sounds so dark and so sinister, but it really is. And it may not affect every single person, but for the person that it does affect, it's one of the worst things in the world. And remember, when we talk about password safety, when there are so many people out there who take a password and they reuse it and they put it on another account, the bank account has the same password all of a sudden as your Netflix account. And the problem with that is the same scammer who is like, oh, they use that password for Netflix. Let's see if they used it for this other bank. And all of a sudden they do. And all of a sudden your information is much more compromised.
Yeah. People do that so they can remember their passwords easily. What about if you just change like one character or one number or something, one little variation on a password that you've been using?
Well, remember what happens when you do that, okay? You have just made it easier for you to remember the password. That's great. But you haven't made it any harder for the scammer to not get access to it, because those people, they're not sitting there and they're guessing manually. They're using a machine that's going through and reading letters. So if there's a one number or one letter off, they're going to find it quickly.
I want to talk to you more about passwords, also what you think may or may not change with Twitter because of Musk now being part of it. Scott Kleinberg continues with us momentarily.
Yeah, and there's some breaking news on that too, guys. Twitter has just appointed Elon Musk to the board of directors at Twitter.
Oh, okay. I want to ask Scott what he thinks may result from that. WGN. Continuing with social media strategist Scott Kleinberg, and another point on what we've been discussing, Scott, why do we automatically assume a company is going to email us asking for information?
Well, that's an excellent point, Bob, and honestly, it's a terrible habit. I mean, you know, many companies, you know, whether they're credit card companies or otherwise, you know, they've actually come out to say, we'll never ask you for this information via email or telephone. I mean, think of how many scams you've heard of that actually have originated when someone has fallen victim to a fake phone call.
Right. Yeah. We're too trusting sometimes. So assuming we looked at everything you said, spelling, wording, spaces between words, what if this email looks so real that we just don't know? We're not sure.
My answer to that, Bob, is do not click. Pick up the phone and call the company. If the email says to enter your username and password, to log into a page, for example, to update billing information because your credit card is about to expire, right? Call the company. Ask them if it's real. Ask them if they actually need updated information. And if they do, they can take it from you on the phone. And right there, you just avoided a very dangerous situation. But even before all of that, the email says your credit card is about to expire, right? Is it? I mean, you should really check your wallet and don't just assume that because it came in an email that it has to be true.
And we just scratched the surface about phishing emails trying to grab personal information. That's just one thing they do, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. There are those fake calendar entries that you see these days now. They simply subscribe you to a series of fake links, and the next thing you know, your calendar is a junk mail farm. You know, you were talking before about the text messages. You know, there's fake links that take over your phone through text message scam. They don't necessarily take over the entire phone. They just make it very, very annoying because they just show up in your text. But, you know, that's an even bigger one because, like we were saying, any place that you add a phone number online can pretty much open you up to something like this happening. So my advice there is to really always try to do your very best to avoid sharing your phone number. I think that's good advice anyway.
And to sum it up here, number one, don't be so quick to click, and two, don't share any more information than is absolutely necessary, right?
Yeah, I would say that's the perfect quick summary, Bob. I mean, I think a win here is, you know, anyone who gets an email with a link to take a long pause and just think about what happens next, because the simple act of not clicking, I mean, that could save you a huge amount of hassle and heartache later on.
What's your opinion on the Tesla CEO Elon Musk acquiring 9% stake in Twitter now? So he's the largest shareholder, and various analysts are skeptical about whether he will remain on the sidelines for long. Do you think this signals any change in Twitter? As Steve reported, he's what did you say, Steve? He's on the board now. He's joined the board.
Yeah, Twitter is actually appointing him to a board seat now that he has that 9% stake, the biggest shareholder in Twitter.
Yeah, and I think in this case, I think what that means is, I think if he's on the board, I don't think he can, like, take it over or do something like that. So I think it's more an advisory role. And I think in this case, I think that's a really great thing for me. I think companies are very slow to change, right? Elon Musk is not a guy that moves slow. So if there's ever going to be a time where there's going to be a change, that's important. But I think one of the things to keep in mind is it takes a lot to run Twitter. There's a lot of balances. There's a lot of reasons why certain people are banned from the platform, you know. So I think he's going to have to just balance, you know, what makes sense for the end user and what makes sense for him. And they may not be the same. But I think overall, it's probably going to be pretty good for the platform to have that outside voice in there.
And finally, let's open up the Genius Bar, and this is a question from a listener, Scott. Can you ask Scott about this? Google was keeping track of my past passwords, I guess they mean, and about a year ago, they got hacked. I'm concerned about a password manager being hacked.
I would say, and this is not to be to be alarmist, but I would say that anything can be hacked. I think it is silly. If anybody comes out and says, we cannot be hacked, I think that's something you have to take with a grain of salt, because I think anything can be hacked. That said, there are different levels. And the levels are, if you're using a machine learning system that is set up to make sure that your password isn't hacked, you have a much better chance of that being safe. So for me, I don't look at a password manager and worry about being hacked. I worry about not having that password in a password manager, because then I'm apt to have something too simple that someone can get. So to me, it's about risk versus reward. And for me, that risk of it getting hacked is too low to worry about.
Good advice, as always, from Scott Kleinberg. Thank you, Scott. We'll talk to you next Tuesday morning.
Sounds great, Bob. Take care.